Hello, I'm Jesse Walls from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church. We're a church seeking to make disciple-making disciples of Jesus. Thank you to Life FM for continuing to host us. Today, as we look to God's Word, our reading is 1 John 1,
verses 5 to 10.
So you can begin looking that up now. This sermon was recorded live at Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church, and the preacher is Brett McArdle from Castlemaine Presbyterian Church. So let's read 1 John 1,
verses 5 to 10. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sins. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us.
So how do we know that we are right with God? How can we be sure that we have fellowship with him? Is there any way to be absolutely certain that we will spend eternity with him in heaven? Or are we just hoping that we have done enough to get us over the line or through the door? Last week, we looked at the first four verses of 1 John chapter 1 and saw that there were three parts involved with our response to the word of life. These three were firstly, that the word would so envelop our lives that it became very much the natural way in which we spoke and communicated to others. That our conversation would consist of and contain much testimony of what he is doing in our lives. The second point was that we would delight in the fellowship of God and with others who share a similar passion, whose lives have also been touched by God. And finally, that our lives would be characterized by joy as the ongoing praise and honor of God almost literally shone out of our lives, that we would be transformed over time to be living witnesses and lights to those of us, to those around us, as Christ became an ever more present part in our lives. Today we will continue with the rest of chapter 1 and look at what God defines as walking in the light, his very definite guidelines for how we should live, and the other half of the process of being recreated in his image. So 1 John chapter 1, reading from verse 5 through 10. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Our text today deals with a basic and yet a very profound restatement of the message of the gospel. As John continued, this is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you. He is not presenting a different message from what Paul presented, or different from what Jesus himself delivered to the people. It is simply a simple restatement of the facts of the gospel and the message of salvation that is so simple to understand, and yet it requires so much commitment and difficult self-assessment to live out in a manner whereby we can truly be said to walk in the light. The message of the word of life could be expressed in these few short words, which contain much to admonish and much in warning. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. There are no tints, no spots, no shadows, no variations, no shades, just the purest light of lights. This is where the term holy is most aptly applied. Being without any hint or doubt, having no reserve, but just wholly dedicated and devoted to the purity and being of existence, where everything is visible, where everything is fully recognized, where everything is fully embraced, and where there is no room for secret chambers or hidden alcoves to tuck away dark secrets or other truths. In a very real sense, this purity or intensity of light will totally reveal error or inaccuracy. It reveals even the smallest of defects or inadequate efforts. Half-heartedness cannot survive long in its scrutiny. Anything less than perfection stands out like a sore thumb. Anything less than all of your heart, soul, and mind, your perfect devotion. Isaiah 30 verse 18 says, "Therefore the Lord waits to be gracious to you, and therefore he exalts himself to show mercy to you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. For a people shall dwell in Zion, in Jerusalem. You shall weep no more. He shall surely be gracious to you at the sound of your cry. As soon as he hears it, he answers you." He continues in verse 21, "This is the way, walk in it. When you turn to the right or when you turn to the left." Before finally he reveals in verse 26, "The light of the moon will be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun will be sevenfold as the light of 7 days, in the day when the Lord binds up the brokenness of his people and heals the wounds inflicted by his blow." Indeed, in the presence of the Lord, his light does purify and burn up that which is wicked, that which is darkness, and that which is not right in his sight. Anything which is not of God's cannot remain in the presence of God. Anything which is not pure cannot stand in his presence. And when he begins the process of cleansing that which is evil, he will not leave anything which cannot fully be appreciated and recognized as good, clean, honorable, righteous, and of praise to him. A holy God and a God of light, anything which does not fit in or belong in that light will be removed and must be burnt up. And this is why John warns us in verse 6, "If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." If our lives do not reflect the light of God, and we hold dear to ourselves the things of the world as of vital importance in our lives, then beware. Perhaps we might like to watch a particular show which helps us to relax or releases us from the stress of our day. Yet as we continually enter that world, we embrace its morality and its standards as good and acceptable and right. We begin to accept their religious beliefs, or lack thereof, as our own beliefs. Their realities, their highs, their lows, as a reflection of what we see as important things to ponder about. Our thoughts, our standards, are reduced to the same level apparent in that world. How often do you watch something and say, "Wouldn't it be great if I could do something like that?" Then you also need to ask yourself this question. How often after watching a show do you say, "Wouldn't it be great if I could know God's hand on me and on my life, like happened in that situation?" All too often, walking in darkness involves ordinary, everyday situations, and our responses and interactions with those situations. When we offer little or no consideration of God, we have been told that God is light. If we find ourselves living and thinking about things with no reference to God, then aren't we walking in darkness? Remember that darkness is simply the absence of light. If their God is not present in our lives, if God is absent from our thoughts, our recovery sessions and the like, then his light is missing from those times, and we are walking in darkness, seeking our health and our well-being from the world and the dominion of darkness. We can claim to be faithful all that we like, and we can claim to have fellowship with God. But if we give only a very little time and consideration to God in our lives, then we are really walking in darkness. And as our text says, we lie and do not practice the truth. There is something to be said about fellowship. It is always there. We cannot cease from fellowship or step in or out of it as we see fit. Either we have fellowship or we don't. Either we share a heart with other believers or we don't. Because if fellowship can be defined as spending time together in a common cause, then going to a football match has just as much value as going to church. If one is a religion, then the other must be also, because you share a cause, a passion, usually a fervent desire for a desired outcome, which we call hope. However, if fellowship is actually about joining your life journey with others of like heart and mind, then fellowship has further implications throughout the whole of your life, and its effects should also be seen and very visible throughout every sphere of your life. Verse 7 tells us, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin." We all have responsibilities to perform, jobs to complete, tasks which we need to accomplish, things we need to learn. Thus, we all need to spend some time doing things which are sometimes quite unpleasant, yet never without a purpose. How we approach these tasks reflects on whether we are walking in the light or whether we are living in the darkness of the world. Every situation whether in work or play, in business or in leisure, comes to us with a warning and a promise. Our response is based on whether we walk in the light or in the dark. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12 and 13 remind us, therefore let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. God has provided a pathway of light and deliverance through every situation, whether it is at work, whether it is at home, whether it be an easy fix or whether it will cost you much. That we have been given such an opportunity at every single turn to walk in the light should encourage us to walk with him. It is when we continually put our trust and faith in God and his solution that we can live in such a way that we will walk in his light. And as we grow in that faith, we are assured that the blood of Jesus, the Son of God, will cleanse us from all our sin, making us without spot or blemish and fit to dwell in the presence of God. We need to be careful to understand, however, what is being said here. There is a doctrine which we call justification, and when we walk with the Lord and continue to do so, we are justified. It is sometimes stated as just as if I had never sinned. It is a legal status that Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, has paid the price for our sin, so that we might come into fellowship with the Father. And it is at this point we find this warning from John in verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. You may well ask, but weren't we not just told that we have been cleansed from all sin? Does that not mean that we are now perfect? This presents a dilemma that many people find confusing. A common saying often heard went like this, or goes like this: Christians aren't perfect, just forgiven. The truth is that we are all sinners, and we will all continue to be sinners until we get to glory, when we will be finally transformed into our eternal, incorruptible bodies. Until then, we are still flesh and blood, and we are told that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, from 1 Corinthians 15:50. As flesh and blood, then, we still fall prey to sin, to rebellion against God, and to the lusts of the world. So it is that the more we endeavor to walk in the light, and the more that we commit to walking in the light, the deeper our fellowship with God will grow, and the greater the work of sanctification in our lives, and as such, the less likely we are to fall into sin and darkness. Sanctification is a doctrine that says that we are being refined, being purified, just as in a smelter with ore. The impurities are gradually burned up and removed, and the ore is refined into a pure metal. As we continue to seek God's way, even when it is difficult, even when it is so much easier to go over the flow and to avoid confrontation, to prevent making a decision which could have repercussions on our lives and potentially much more, we will be transformed from one degree of glory to another by the renewal of our mind, and we will know more and more the fellowship of God and of his people in our lives. We will find it easier to say no when temptations come along. And we will find it more fulfilling to honour God in our lives than just trying to make other people, the people around us, happy. And the truth of God will find a place of rest in our hearts. Verse 9 of our text says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I think that one of the greatest weaknesses in mankind is the hesitation, the unwillingness to acknowledge one's own shortcomings. We are proud, and we like to think that we are good. We fudge around the issue and justify what we have done or why we have done it. We try to lessen it as a wrong, like making a lie just a little white lie or a fib, as if suddenly it is a good thing or a neutral thing, but not really a bad one. We like to think well of ourselves and really hate being made to admit that we have done wrong, that we have sinned. But as we begin to admit and to identify our sin, the impurities in our life, we confess them to God, and he begins the work of removing these impurities from our life. It is not always pleasant, but it is necessary to make us comfortable with being forever present in his presence. As 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17 and 18 remind us, for this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. You'd be aware that every action creates ripple effects. Some are very obvious, while others can be very subtle in nature. This is cause and effect. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and in so doing, he established throughout the universe the law of consequences. When you drop a stone, it will crash onto the ground or what happens to be under it. These consequences will usually be confined to the initial and immediate area. However, if the stone landed on your toe, it could potentially crush or break it, leaving you with a consequence that would follow you wherever you went until it was finally remedied and healed. Likewise, when we sin, there is usually an immediate effect visible. But more importantly, unless the initial sin is confessed, there always remains a corrupting influence that can grow into something quite devastating later on, and a great hindrance to your ability to walk in the light. One of the most common ways for this to happen today has been triggered by the whole victim mentality. That is, I'm a victim in this situation. It is not my fault, and therefore I am not responsible for the consequences. A society where everyone promotes their rights and no one has responsibilities creates a situation where people struggle to accept responsibilities for their actions and thus make it difficult for people, and especially for Christians, to confess their sin to God. And thus verse 9 reveals the two layers of healing necessary for all sin. The actual act of sin needs to be forgiven, but springing from that, the corrupting influence that creeps in when we hold fast to our pride and refuse to admit that we have sinned can deeply affect the way in which we live, act, or even think towards others, destroying true fellowship with them. Hence the extra and very real need for cleansing from all unrighteousness, which is offered to those who accept their guilt and confess their sin. The other side of that option then arrives in verse 10. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. When we claim to be fine, when we claim that we are not sinners, when we claim to be better than others, like the Pharisee demeaning the tax collector, we are calling God a liar. If we insist that we have no way that we can live better lives as a Christian, then the word of God is not in us. Fellowship is reflected by our willingness to share the word of life with others. If we think that somehow we have given enough to God, if we have nothing else that we could do to serve him, or if we are just tired of the life that he has given to us to enjoy him with, we reject him as God. We make him a liar, and we do not walk in the light. There are so many ways in which we limit God's word and his work in our lives. Maybe we have a besetting sin that we do not want to deal with, but prefer to hold on to. Perhaps we just want to keep something in our life that does not honor God, but which provides pleasure for us. It might just be that we want to avoid strife and contention with our family, our friends, or the world around us, so that we can live out our life in relative peace and happiness. Ultimately, everyone has to face the consequences of their sin, either in the here and now, so that they are forced to deal with the fallout in this present world, or at the judgment seat, where they will have to face the consequences of their actions and choices for eternity. We have been called to walk in the light so that we might have fellowship with the eternal God and with other believers. When we seek to restrict our fellowship to just a few short hours a week, how can we expect to be ready for heaven when and where we shall ever be with the Lord? Our relationship with God and with other Christians in this world is reflective of where our heart is truly focused regarding the world to come. Therefore, let us walk in the light as he is in the light, so that we might all have fellowship with one another, and that Jesus the Christ might indeed cleanse us from all our sin and bring us into that eternal relationship with our Father who is in heaven. When we walk with the Lord of light, we will be changed. Last week we saw that we gain the image and attributes of God. But alongside that, we are also given a role in the removal of sin and the negative attributes of our old life. These two parts come together so that we might truly share in the eternal fellowship with God the Father, his Son, Jesus Christ, and all the saints in glory. Let us pray. Father God Almighty, in whom dwells no darkness, be evident in our lives and equip us for eternal life with you in glory. Help each one of us to face our failings and teach us your perfect truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I'm Jesse Walls from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church, and I pray you've been blessed as you've spent this time in God's Word. Next week, we'd love to have you join us in person for our service at 10 a.m. I hope to see you there. And as always, if you'd like to make a comment on what you've heard today, if you have a question, or if you're looking for a church, then please get in contact with us. Our website is eaglehawkpc.org.au. You can also contact us through Facebook or Instagram. God bless you.